Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Purple Rain Minute Podcast. My name is Michael Dean. Joining me always is Ida. Ida, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on? I'm excited to be here. How are you? How's everybody?
I'm doing good. I hope the listeners are doing good and hanging in there with us as we continue on our journey to watch Purple Rain minute by minute. And today we are at minute 14 through 15. And we start things off with a continuation from last week, or the last episode, I should say, where Jill Jones, she's finally giving an iconic and a very important piece of the story, a cassette tape of music from Lisa and Wendy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which we'll find out what's on there later. But the kid asks her, you know, how come they didn't give it to me? And she's like, well, they let me hear it, and I kind of liked it, so I want to listen to it for a little bit. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, well, he says, you really liked it, huh?
Yeah. I think it was a very sweet exchange. Even the energy between them was really sweet. I felt like I said, you could tell he cared about Jill. That was his girl, you know, as far as a home girl. I don't know about his girl. Right. You know, but somebody he cared about. Yeah, he was like, so you really liked it, huh? Like, I think he respected her taste almost.
Mm.
Like, if you liked it, then, huh? Way you said it, like, oh, okay, you liked it. That's that means something.
Yeah, maybe I need to give this a shot or give it a listen, and we'll find out later that he sort of maybe struggles with that, with listening to other people's music and stuff.
Mm.
But so yeah, we get that, and then it cuts to we see a warehouse, and we see that yellow caddy.
No, car that is, you know who, yep. Ride that is,
and we hear that music coming on, and I love the shot that, you know, the camera sort of pans across, right. And we get to see the time, you know, and they're rehearsing, and they're inside this warehouse, and we pan and we see the girls doing their thing, and you know, the camera pans over, you see Morris, he's got his cane, you know, and he's grooving to the music, heads bopping and tapping it on the floor. And you see Jerome is sitting next to him, and he's grooving. And I always remember, like, he slaps the
slapping the lamp
to the snare. So hilarious. But I was going to say, the thing I always loved about this part, and a part of this movie that has always stuck with me, was I love seeing them practice. Like,
yeah.
Just the rehearsal sort of thing. Just like, I was kind of like the behind the scenes or something. Like, oh, okay, this is how they do it. It's almost like showing you sort of like a blueprint, or like, this is how
they put it together. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm always gravitated to things like that. Whether it's, you know, sort of made up in this sense, but it gave me a sense of, that's probably how they really get down. At least that's how I wanted to think about it. Right. Even when I've seen, I'm trying to think, there was something, I talk about this a lot, but when Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis was on BET one year, and they had Donnie Simpson come to Flight Time Studios, and they just showed the control board, you know, I always remember the parts where they show them in the studio, or they show them practice, and of course the few times we've seen Prince in the studio, just little glimpses. It's interesting that, I'm going to jump on a tangent here for a second. But we've only seen, like, glimpses of Prince in the actual studio. As much as material that he has, as many years as he's been in it, I could probably name the times that there was that one documentary that, you know, sort of covers the whole Love Sexy tour.
Love Sexy tour, I've seen that. Yes.
Have you seen that little deck? There's like a small documentary that Prince and his camp made. And it shows him in the studio with, like, Mavis Staples recording.
Yep.
And it shows him doing, playing the bass to Party Man, laying that down. And those are the only times that I was like, and I always remember those. I was like, damn, okay.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I remember was it the Beautiful Experience where it's in Paisley Park, with Nona Gay and, no. The one with the girl where she's like, every man has a perfect counterpart. And she, like, sneaks into Paisley Park. She's in the tub. And
Love for One Another.
What was the name of that?
I think that was
Love for One Another. Kind of gives you a back in the scenes type of thing.
Yep.
Because it's all in Paisley Park. It's at the reception desk. Mm-hmm. She's calling Prince at the on the phone, and he's up in his suite in Paisley Park. Yeah, I'm like you. We all appreciate getting those glimpses of what that the real life is like.
Yeah. So here we go. You know, this is a very sort of memorable, iconic confrontation here, when Morris is just not happy with what is going on with the girls, and. And this is the first time that we get to see Susan Moonsey and Brenda Bennett in the movie. I didn't know who they were at the time, but obviously at this point they are known from Vanity 6. Right, that was sort of the thing that they had. Nasty Girl was a big hit,
exactly,
and they had a look off of that. So here they are, and I'm just like, whoa, what's going on here? Now, the last thing I was saying, I'm gonna turn it over to you. The music. At the time, to me, and even now, it was banging. I was like, "What is?"
That's what I was going to say. You know,
it's
the
not
first
a complete song,
say.
But the groove on it.
Come on, come on.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the first thing, because when it cuts to this scene and you see the Morris's car out front, you see this warehouse, and you hear what's playing. I'm just floored. I'm like, this is some of the funkiest shit ever.
Exactly.
And they're just in the rehearsal. And like you said, it's a great shot. They pan in and you get to see the entire band just rehearsing. You know, they got their ties undone. They got their jackets off. And they're just getting down to business. And I see the girls. And when I first saw this, I don't think I knew who they were at all. But like you said, Vanity 6 had been out. And we all knew they were, you know, two members from that. And they had already been on tour with Vanity 6 by this time, right? So people kind of knew Susan and Brenda a little bit. But I didn't know who they were. You know, I thought they were gorgeous like every other woman in the movie. And I'm like, okay, two more girls. And I thought they were doing okay. Right. So when I see Morris's reaction, you see Morris is like, you know, he's a hard dude to please. It's like, they obviously ain't doing what they supposed to be doing because Morris is not happy.
Nah.
And this whole... He's okay. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I mean, it's, that whole his whole bit there is comedy gold. It's like, again, not really. You don't know what to expect from this guy because he hasn't been in any movies before or TV. But when he does his thing, it's just so effortless. And he's probably playing sort of himselfish. You know, playing himself a little bit. But just that whole, you know, one, two, oh Lord, cut, cut. You ladies don't seem to realize how valuable my time is. You know, you'll make my boys look bad.
Make my boys look bad.
And, you know.
And then you see Jerome is just shaking his head like, that's what Jerome is doing, right? Oh, no, not yet. I don't think he's doing it until
no,
they
see,
say
yeah,
that
our
he's
minute,
lying
our
for
minute,
the next minute.
Yeah, our minute ends at making your boys look bad. But just looking at more, I mean, when he gets up and it's just, it's hilarious. And he. You know, this sort of moment, and then when we get into the next moment, is one of the things that I think is a part of, you know, I would say black pop culture, but pop culture in terms of anytime there's some sort of like a rehearsal type of a scene, there's two things I think, you know, a lot of times that come to mind. It's either they're going to play like Morris, you know, is y'all not doing it right, you know, or they're going to play like Debbie Allen, like a Fame sort of thing.
Like
she was very hard on those. So, and he's always sort of remembered that. Now, I'm going to stop this here for a quick second because I believe we have a special guest on the line here. You know him from obviously a lot of podcast juice shows. Mr. Sean Hill, are you there with us?
Yes, sir. I am here.
Ah, how are you doing, sir?
Oh, man. We had a power outage since 2 o'clock in the morning last night. It literally just came on like 5 minutes ago.
You know, I guess you got some podcast juice
I guess so.
In the house. We had to bring that on. So welcome to the show, Sean.
Thank you, sir.
We're obviously here with Ida.
Hey, Sean. What's going on?
Hey, Ida. How's it going?
Great. How are you?
All right.
Besides the power outage, you're good now, looks like.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
All right. So to bring you up to speed, we are talking about minute 14 through 15. We talked about Jill giving Prince that cassette tape with the songs. And now we are at the rehearsal space with, you know, the time. And it's not Vanity 6 and it's not Apollonia 6 yet. I'm actually calling them Destiny's Thoughts. Like their original.
Wow.
I was just messing this up. But So we got starting of the girl group, you know. So here's what we always do when we have new guests on the show. Mr. Hill, tell us the quick story of how you first saw Purple Rain.
I popped my Purple Rain cherry, so to speak, whenever it opened, opening night, the Friday it opened. I was 12 or 13 at the time. Mom bought the ticket for me and said, go in, have fun. She sat in the car and actually waited. She didn't go and watch the movie.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, she was not interested in seeing the movie. So yeah, that was my first experience. I was already a big fan at that point. So just being there, seeing the movie, seeing him in action, moving, talking, all of that was definitely a thrill. I remember it was a packed house, a lot of Prince fans in the house. So it was unfortunately, I've only seen it on the big screen that one time, but I would love to see it on the big screen again. But so that's how I got into
12?
It.
So you were already a fan at 12 or 13?
Yeah, I was already a fan. I had become a fan actually by – I had gone to see the 1999 tour, but I didn't go to see Prince. I went to go see The Time. I wanted to see – The Walk was big at the time, so I wanted to see that. But after Prince performed, I was a fan for life, a forever fan. That live performance changed my life.
All right. All right. Any thoughts on? I don't know if you had a chance to quickly look at it, but you know, this minute of footage. Any comments you wanted to put in your show?
Well, a couple of things. One thing that watched the movie when I was that age at home when I got the VHS, it always seemed to me for some reason the movie looked cold. You know what I mean? And not cold in a lighting kind of sense, but it looked cold. And if you watch the scene very closely with Morris and Jerome, you could see their breaths. You could see just how cold it is in that little warehouse. So that goes to show you that Warner Brothers didn't put a lot of money behind this film at all. they couldn't even get the brothers some space heaters to heat the warehouse that they're in. One thing of note that most people probably should know now, but it's interesting that, of course, the music that is being played is not actually being played by The Time. It's actually, you know, Prince. But we didn't know that at the time. We thought, okay, The Time is, you know, putting their music out and being their background people. So this was also the scene, too, where I was hoping Cookie on Empire is going to emulate when she was training the girls how to dance. I was hoping she was going to say, "I want some perfection."
I want some perfection. Yeah.
All right. So yeah, like I said, it ends with "You're going to make my boys look bad." So with that, and I guess real quick, you know, you can see it, the look that Susan gives. When he stops him, that's just everything. You know, she was definitely like, listen, Muffin. You know, she already had enough. Yeah.
How many times you gotta do these goddamn stuff over and oh, look, okay.
Yeah,
that's the look on her face. You're exactly right.
It's hilarious. And she's fine as hell too. I was just like,
yes, she is. Damn. They all.
All right, so that's that minute there. We gotta have our quote. Do a quote every show. Sean, are you ready to
do
a quote?
Sean do it.
I am ready.
Oh,
because
okay.
You should know what the quote's going to be, Mike, because we say it almost every show. But I'll say it now. Life my ass, motherfucker. This is a business. And you ain't too far gone to see that yet.
Yeah.
I told you before, this stage is no place for your personal shit, man.
That's life,
there
man.
We go.
Love it.
My ass, motherfucker. That's great, man. All right. Sean Hill, where can they find you?
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Hill Street Views. Also, Facebook, Sean Hill, and Real Movie Talk. And the blog, hillstreetviews.blogspot.com, and on podcastjuice.net.
All right. Ida, where can they find you at?
Yes, sir. They can just go to Chicken, Sex, and Semantics, which is my podcast, and all of my links are there. And, of course, you can find me right here, Mr. Dean, for a minute.
Yeah, yeah. And we invite you to please, I actually have a request for our listeners. If you are not already on iTunes, please go on to iTunes and click subscribe to this show. It's obviously free to do that. But why do I ask you to do that? Because this is actually affects how they pick shows to be featured on the main page. And it's all about how many people subscribe to the show. So if everyone can go out there and just hit that click subscribe button on iTunes, I very much appreciate it. I got to give Ida some props and the show some props. Our show is featured on the new and notable section of iTunes under the film and TV section. So that's a good look. And we're just going to keep doing this
thing.
Yeah, we're moving up. We're kind of trying to do a little.
Yay!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know what I always say? Work it like a job. We'll see you next time. Peace.